A lot of the music you hear comes from production music libraries. These are collections of sound cues that are licensed for use in media. It's like using stock footage in a movie, convenient for a producer who can't afford or be bothered to hire a composer, which is why stock music has become as universal as it is generic. The concept of production music is as old as talkies. Film studios have had reels of generic music they would reuse to accompany fight scenes, love scenes, and chase scenes. Companies now offer the same service to anyone making video and audio content. It's fun to browse their catalogs. The music is categorized by emotion, with descriptions like dark tension and warm reflective moments. The banal mid-century instructional film vibe of old production music is ripe for satire, but even newer stuff has become ubiquitous. Movie trailers have to use it because the trailers come out before the soundtrack is even composed. And if a trailer goes viral, there's nothing stopping everyone else from using the same piece. You gotta admire the design. It goes down easy like fast food and fulfills its purpose without drawing attention to itself. It's functional and forgettable as the beige color schemes of cookie-cutter suburban homes. Some of it is even pretty good. It's just kind of sad that it's off the rack and not custom-tailored. For KMUW, I'm Mark Foley.
And you're listening to Musical Space. I'm Fletcher Powell here, as always, with Mark Foley. Hey there, Mark.
Howdy, Fletcher.
And taking a look at music from these production libraries, some in very prominent places. We heard already a tune used in Ren and Stimpy and SpongeBob SquarePants. And tell me about this one that we're coming out with now, Two Steps from Hell with Victory?
Yeah, Two Steps from Hell is one of these production libraries. I think they commission composers to write music that sounds like it'll be in a movie trailer. And like I said, movie trailers are really important because composers are given the movie to score in post-production, meaning they only have a couple weeks to do the whole score. Meanwhile, they're already marketing the movie, so all the music you hear is not even written by the composer who is scoring the movie, which is kind of weird. But this first one we heard, I think it's called Victory. It's hard to know. A lot of times they won't even tell you who's composing the music because because it's that generic. I'm not saying it's bad, but the economy of it is that the composer doesn't get royalties for this. They're hired on a work-for-hire basis. So the composer doesn't really have a lot of input and can't decide where it's used and things like that. So this one, Victory, is kind of a case in point. You've heard it a billion times. Mm-hmm. I can't even list all the trailers I've heard it in, but just listening to it is like, oh yeah, I've been here before.
Well, you've got another one that you mentioned that you've heard about a billion times in a ton of movie trailers. Tell me about this first one, Red Rum.
Yeah, Red Rum by Yoav Gorin and Jeff Fayman. We actually got to know who the composers are on this one. This is from a company called Immediate Music, and it's a cue called Action and Drama 2. just wait till you hear it. It is so movie trailer-ish. It pushes all the buttons. And, you know, it's just like a McDonald's hamburger. It's like they put a lot of design work into it, and it really hits the spot when you need that.
This next one's curious because it's from the trailer for the movie Inception, and it actually, even though I assume it came before the movie score did, it still kind of has the feel of the movie score itself.
Yeah, this one really tripped me up. For one thing, it's really good.
Yeah.
And another is like, I was incepted by this piece of music because the trailers have been using this piece called Mind Heist by a pretty famous production composer named Zach Hemsey. And yeah, the trailer came out and it was pretty epic. And I thought the composer of the film, Hans Zimmer, wrote this
because
mm-hmm. It's really good. once you hear it, you'll realize, oh, this is just commercial music. This isn't really what you hear in the movie.
Yeah, it's fascinating and unexpected.
Yeah.
Next, you've got a number of pieces by a guy named Ronald Hanmer, who apparently does music for SpongeBob.
Yeah, he doesn't really do music for SpongeBob. He died a long time ago.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, this is old production music, which just fascinates me. I think it's kind of written to sound like, I don't know, maybe Carl Stalling, the stuff he did for Warner Brothers, or Scott Bradley, who did the MGM cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Really over-the-top stuff. And it's just so stereotypically cartoonish. He's actually a British composer, a pretty serious composer, wrote a lot of stuff for movies. And I don't know if his stuff got picked up later or if he just worked for a company right away. But there's a company called KPM Music House, which is handling all this stuff. That's the place you should go if you really want it. I don't know, just trip out on old production music and get a lot of nostalgia. But yeah, these newer cartoons like SpongeBob and before, my favorite, Ren and Stimpy, have been picking up on these old production pieces. So let's put together a medley. The first one is called Adventure. The second one is called Horoscope. And the third one is called Morning Commute. Thank you.
last, you mentioned your favorite, Ren and Stimpy. Just a little peek behind the curtain. Mark told me off mic that Ren and Stimpy is kind of the reason he got into all of this production music.
Absolutely.
So let's hear this from Ralph Dolemore. This is off a Ren and Stimpy soundtrack?
I think maybe you can find it on a CD, that, like a collection. If I remember correctly, there are collections of this stuff. But Ralph Dolemore was another like British composer who got kind of into this production music scene. And this is a really cool jazz piece that he did called Hit and Run. And as soon as you hear it, I hope you get all this nostalgia. That's what this is all about.
It's kind of cool to see just how much music is out there and how many different uses it has.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think like the coolest thing would be if like somebody's putting together like home movies or something, go and buy some of this stuff. It's really cheap. And you can insert it into, you know, your daughter's third birthday party movie or whatever. I think it would be epic.
That's perfect. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks so much, Fletcher.